So we could call our Citizens Advisory Group to order. Roll call is we're just missing Rick Fraser, who let us know that he is unavailable due to a medical procedure. I don't know if you had time to look at the minutes from the last meeting.
I didn't see anything wrong.
I put in George's chart.
I noticed you snuck mine in there, weren't you?
I swapped out mine.
Perfect, so we'll adopt the minutes.
And there was one little change in the minutes from what I printed here.
Oh, from what we have?
On one of the charts, under the other, where it says dissolve EMS, I put / fire department start new service. So no one gets the idea that we're just, okay, we won't do EMS anymore.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking EMS.
And then I moved this.
That wasn't really a proposal, you're right.
And I hit backspace on one of the lines to bring this up onto one page.
Yeah, I was wondering if you formatted that to be bigger than whatever you have to do.
The minutes to sign for you, Chuck.
But as long as the verbiage is close enough.
Everything else is the same.
All right.
Excellent.
So no objection to that.
No objection to that. And then I just wanted to see if there were any follow-up points. I know Nathan loaded documents up for us on Google Docs. So if we wanted to make any modifications or use those or add anything to them, they're available and they're up and running. It was a really good session. It gave me a lot to think about after our last meeting.
Good.
So anyway, they were available, so we can continue to modify those as we go forward or use those as kind of core documents.
And I think that's a fine place to put them. I hope everybody has access.
Yeah.
That can turn into a nice final document, you know, like it's a nice way to start consolidating your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. And then I guess we'll just jump right into the discussion of levy options and timing of issues. Nathan's going to walk us through the documents that he was able to get hold of, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And then George had another position which is related to this, but in a different direction. And then George, if you would talk about that would be great. And then that'll kind of lead us into a discussion about levies and hopefully some next step items too.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys' job is to do all the big thinking, big ideas and everything. And I thought though that someone probably needed to get in there and do some work on the nitty gritty details of the levies. So that was the first thing I did, and I emailed you guys about what I kind of found. And I printed some documents from the Department of Revenue Property Tax Manual. It has, for example, it's got public hospital district. It's got a description of how the levy works, what its maximum numbers are. I did the same thing for a fire protection agency, RFA, and EMS. Levy, and then there's some other kind of assorted documents and some just copies of different pages from that manual I thought would be useful. I also copied the section from a revenue guide for Washington counties, just the first 22 pages, which deal with property tax. And that's got some good explanations in there as well. Some of you probably already understand all of this. Some of you may not. I didn't. And then also there's the assessor's guide. From John Kulseth that they just recently released. And that's got different data about the different levies. For instance, when EMS passed their levy or when the public passed the EMS levy, it was at 50 cents. Now it's at 46 cents. And that's because assessed values went up faster than the 1% maximum. Mm-hmm. And so you can take 1% more of what you did last year, but that's still going to be less than what you would have taken without that limitation. If you were able to take 50% of the current assessed values, their revenues would have gone up significantly more, but you're kind of capped at that 1%. So that kind of thing I hadn't really understood before. And then the last thing I printed for you is this CAG worksheet on resources, and it was on the top. It's 3 pages. You guys were, the purpose of this meeting, as I understood it, was to sort of discuss where to go next, who to talk to next, that kind of thing. And so I pulled different people involved in this. I talked to Brad, I talked to Chief Martin, Chief Creasy and Chief Martin. I talked to a few other people. I did research on my own. And so this is a list of possible resources. There were a few particularly useful ideas. One was get an accountant to take both the fire department and the EMS budgets and come up with a preliminary budget for a merged service, which you could use to compare against Scott Williams when he comes. It might be a useful thought exercise to see what it would be like. So anyway, there, and then Brad thoughtfully sent me a list of RCWs and WACs that would be useful as well. So I thought that all of those things would be useful, but if they are not, then that's fine too. I just thought that I would see what I could find out. And then on the other pile you've got, I've got my expense report, copy of that, or rather the claim of expense or whatever you want to call it, and then the minutes. So that's my thing. Anybody have questions on that?
No, there's a lot to digest. I mean, I know I need to spend some time this weekend reading some of these documents. I started and then got distracted and then got bogged down. So I appreciate getting a little bit of focus here on some pages in the operations manual that are more specific to what we're talking about. So I think, you know, that's going to lead us to do some homework for a while.
There were some surprisingly interesting things. For instance, the idea that fire gets 150, right, for their levy, but they can also levy an EMS levy, which is another 50 cents. You could, in theory, be sending $2 per assessed $1,000 to a fire. There were the surprising idea that if you were to move EMS directly, the whole levy underneath fire, that, you know, you're getting 46 cents of fire's assessed value. So EMS would actually lose like $150,000. Those sorts of things, they're small and they're minor and they seem unimportant until all of a sudden your budget is, you know, you're trimming paramedics or something to cover expenses. So if you were to do it differently, keep the levy under the hospital district, pay a subsidy, that wouldn't happen. But those sorts of considerations matter considerably for the recommendations that you end up making. So.
Yeah, I think it's important because it starts to get into what George really wants to kind of begin having a discussion about. George, you want to kind of...
Yeah, when we talked last time, I was going to approach some folks about questions that we had related to our ideas. I was thinking entirely about the changes because I know what exists and I suspect I understand property taxes having worked for the county a little bit better maybe than you would, Rick and Dan. I get that. I think Mark probably understands property taxes a little bit better just because he works with...
But you live through the budget process.
The budget, right. The county budget depends on it too. So anyway, I wasn't really as interested in what is as what we were thinking we could go to and the process to get there, which could be quite complex, I think. You know, and also where we go, we have to do the math within the constructs of, you know, these things. So it would be, okay, in a merged EMS fire model for property tax levies that might choose to, how much would that have to be in order to make sure we have the same revenue or whatever, do those exercises, and then ask somebody about the process. And when I asked, you know, Mylene about these questions, because I kind of have that resource side at the moment. She said, I couldn't answer those questions without seeing the questions first and doing research, and I'm sure John couldn't either, and probably neither one of us are the guys to ask. You need to ask a lawyer like Randy. And she also surmised that Randy is probably not going to want to come to one of these evening meetings because he can't get home. So he would probably assign it to John Kane, who is his chief civil deputy, and you wouldn't get him to answer these questions live in real time at this meeting if you hadn't submitted them to him prior to the meeting with enough time for him to research the questions that you were going to ask him, because that's what lawyers do. And I also observed that, you know, I'm not even sure that John's the right guy. I think MRSC probably has folks who know more about this. sort of thing than we do in the prosecutor's office here, because they haven't been through it here, whereas MRC advises people on this all the time. So if we could find an advisory sort of legal expert there, we probably would want to work up a list of questions of, you know, to get from here, you know, describe where we are, to one of these, what would the process be, and who, you know, who's involved and what to take. And so those were the kind of questions I thought we should explore, but we don't have those questions on paper yet, and until we do, I don't think we're going to get a good response from some of the experts who could answer them for us. So that was where I thought, you know, our energy tonight might want to go, is into coming up with some questions for the mechanics of transition, if you will, rather than necessarily, this is good stuff, and yes, we all need to understand this. Those of you who are awed by it should probably spend some time getting comfortable with it, because it is complicated, messy, and non-obvious. But once you kind of get it, there's a process that we're going to have to learn for changing it. Because changing it is what we're proposing, if we propose anything other than status quo. Right. That's really where I thought the questions might get interesting.
Well, and it's certainly the issue of unintended consequences. It's easy to think of this in a linear fashion. Yeah. We would potentially think about advising some kind of consolidation. So here's the steps, but it's not that easy.
Well, it may be that there are steps to take that start here and then require this vote and another vote, and then we can do some things down the road or whatever.
Yeah, well, but then it's an if this,
right?
Then what if it doesn't happen? And
right.
Where's that stopping point? What is that stopping point?
Well, and you kind of have to decide if you stop because you can't get something passed in an election and you're stuck at a place where you're halfway there. Is it a better place than where we are now? Or would that have been a mistake had you not been able to get all the way?
Right.
You
know, yeah.
Think through how the risk of that might impact service and whatnot. So anyway, all of those are way more interesting questions when you start to think about them. And yes, we had a very high level discussion up until now, this philosophy of, you know, well, we could do this or we could do that. But when it gets down to the actual brass tacks of doing it, the nitty gritty gets really interesting and complicated fast. So those were some areas that I thought we should probably try to define the questions well enough that we could ask some subject matter expert to weigh in and find that subject matter expert, whether it's at MRSC or the prosecutor's office or wherever, to sort of help us figure out just those questions. What's the risk of going down this road? What is the process? And what are the steps along the way?
Right.
Because I think the steps along the way, like annexing the town, moving the fire district levy or something, and the EMS levy over the fire district, and then defining some point in time where we're going to have a new levy that the fire district takes on that's going to replace the EMS levy, and we let the current EMS levy expire at the end of its term or whatever. You know, you game out all of the pieces of that process. At this point, we need to do, you know, town and fire district have to vote on the boundary change. At this point, we have to do an EMS addition to the fire levy, and then we have to, you know, time it so that it takes place at the time that the EMS levy expires, and, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Right.
And when you think through all the pieces of that, you sort of make sure that it makes sense or doesn't. And then, you know, that's where we need some help, I think.
Dan, do you have any?
Along the same lines, it's trying to triage this. And step one is going to be, well, if we have to have this pass. We'll look at this first before we go to step two. It's not going to be an easy list to come up with.
But it may not be. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be part of our work plan necessarily to come up with it, I think. And we can get some help along the way.
We
don't have to know everything to do it. We just have to know the questions.
Yeah, and it doesn't preordain an outcome here yet. I mean, regardless of, I think, what our work product is, and regardless of what we decide to recommend, I mean, I think we still have to say, you know, even if we didn't recommend it, if you're going to go forward, you need to understand that there are some pretty heavy walls that you got to jump over if this happens.
So. Well, and the other side of it might be whether we want to assess the likelihood of success in some of those options, given that they involve a lot of people at times and things like that. And, you know, if you think that okay, that's maybe not going to happen. So if we go down that road and we think we aren't going to be able to get over that hurdle, we shouldn't go down that road. That sort of thing might weigh into the thinking a little bit here. And that's why you have to know all of the steps involved in each of the choices we want to pursue or think about.
It's definitely a risk-reward conversation.
Right. And sometimes it's going to be okay, you know, if they annex, you know, change the boundaries of the fire district and can't get any further than that. Well, maybe that's okay. I'm not sure that's a bad thing. You know,
right.
You just accept that.
Right.
You know, but change the boundary of the fire district and then try and get an increase in the fire district levy to cover the EMS so you can drop the EMS levy. Maybe you can't do that because it looks like a property in tax increase that people aren't going to vote for. Fine. You know, if that dies because you can't get it passed, you can try again later or not, as the case may be. You know, you just have to think through sort of those pieces.
Yeah, it's sort of a discussion about the town annexing in, too. You know, it depends how that's packaged and it depends on the approach. And that does look like a tax increase hidden. In another discussion.
Well, for the town, I mean, you know, citizens could amount to a tax increase of some sort. And again, it's packaging that in a way that can be sold.
Yeah, I think Duncan has clearly said it'll be a tax increase because he's not giving up all.
Because he can't give up the entire amount of whatever that is. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay.
So this whole exercise then presumes that we are in some sort of agreement that we need to answer these questions before we can make a recommendation. Because if we do the do-nothing recommendation, we don't need to go down this route.
Well, that's true. If we are already at the place where we can say we don't want to do anything, then we're done, yeah.
Yes.
But if I think we want to fairly evaluate what options are on the table and see if any of those warrant our, you know, recommending them to the various agencies involved, I think we might need more detail about it.
No, I would agree with you.
But I think you're right. Yeah, obviously, if we could say right now, we don't need to change this, then we wouldn't need to do any more work. So, truly, the easiest way out for us is to take a vote right now, to do nothing, and head for the door.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that's exactly where we're all at.
I think we need to explore all these options.
I would hate to. I would hate to just say just no and fold up. I mean, even if that is ultimately our decision, it would be nice to at least spend some time thinking through these steps and laying it out in the future, just so somebody understands before you start another citizens advisory group and you start this discussion again in a little merry-go-round, you know, here's the reality. So yeah, you can go down that road, but boy, boom, 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 boom. So
yeah, I think even recommending the choice of doing nothing requires that we know a little bit more about the options before we can say we don't want to do them. So, you know, obviously being facetious about that, but I think we should explore the options so that we know what to recommend.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's not actually advocating to do nothing,
no,
I think is what he's trying to say. I may say it so.
Yeah, I mean, if I was the only one saying we should go further and the four of you were saying we should stop now, then obviously we'd be stopping now.
Right? Yeah, so, right. But I don't even want to say stop now until I know what, you know, the cost is.
No,
we're not in a place where
that.
We can make the decision,
right.
Is my point.
Yeah.
And the answers we get back may lead us in a different direction than
what
was available.
That's right.
And that's always a good.
Well, you know, that's also true. As we talked to somebody about how would we get from here to there, they could say, well, you know, you could also go there instead of where you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we might not have thought of something that is on the table or should be, and we could consider.
Yeah, and the timing issue of how you queue it up relative to a ballot is interesting. You can't do everything in one. It doesn't seem likely that you do it all in one pass.
Well, depending on what you do, I mean,
yes.
Well, there are some things you can do in a single
single
pass, or without a vote, for that matter. So, you know, you can do some things, but without votes or with one vote, or, you know, but if you're right, if it gets beyond just one annexation vote or something, you've got to do more with levies and so on.
Yeah,
it gets interesting. So, all of that's something we should talk with somebody who knows.
Yeah, and I guess what we need to do is we just have to figure out what do we want to ask somebody.
Yeah. Well, and my latest point was, sure, she'll run the elections, but she's only going to put on the ballot what Randy says, in the words that Randy says to do it.
Yes.
And you know, John will collect the taxes and whatnot that are required by the levy, but he's not going to try to figure out how to change this levy to look like that. So, you know, there's a lot of folks that are going to have to weigh in with some expertise here.
This, I will say this, though. Even the experts, even people like John Kulseth, you know, he was showing emails where he had to ask questions to the Department of Levy.
Oh, they do all the time. Department of Revenue has people we could ask. The problem with asking the Department of Revenue, at least according to my lead, is they will be harder to get to respond. MRSC will respond with somebody.
The state
you may never hear from anybody helpful at DOR. Just the way it is. But you're right. Yeah, John, we could ask John. The problem is John would then have to go ask somebody else.
Right.
And see if you can get us the answer,
complicated for everyone.
Which is another reason that I said that if we're going to ask, we could ask all three of the local financial and legal folks to weigh in on all this, but each of them would want to see the questions and do the research before they get here, because they don't know off the top of their head how to respond to any of these scenarios we're talking about.
I'm assuming we're going to come up with these questions in an outline.
Yes. Right. That's the idea, I think. I think that has to be what we do.
Yeah, I think so too. And we don't want to waste anybody's time. I mean, when we make these asks, we want to really get something out of it. Mm-hmm.
But every one of them will have to do the research to have the answers.
Yes.
Whoever you ask, because nobody's going to know this stuff off the top of their heads. Mm-hmm.
Because to me, the town annex question is still vague. You know, is that a go? I mean, you have to do that, or are there other ways to contract? We talked about different options.
You could keep the contract
as is.
And you know, as we say, we could move EMS levy from here to there. PhD is part of it.
And
without doing anything else.
And for the residents.
And they could still collect the fee that the town pays for that without annexing the town.
Right.
So they get services and so on. Right, that could happen.
Yep.
But if you want to change the EMS levy to just be an increase in fire department levy and drop it,
then you have to vote.
Then you need two votes at least, because you have to annex the town and you have to increase the levy to include however much it is that you need to cover EMS.
Or
by the time EMS fire.
The town contracts for both fire and EMS service and pays out of their existing property tax. They would probably say
that's right. You could do that too, yes. But you still, if you're going to change the levy, have to have
either the town levy or yes, I agree with that.
Even if you don't do the town in the fire levy,
and
they're still annexed,
right?
So they just will pay whatever they pay, and that's a negotiated contract. You still have to bump the levy for fire to cover EMS if you let the
EMS
levy
expire. Correct. I understand.
So you got to vote out people one way or the other or somewhere. You know,
but they're still in the EMS district, so they still have to pay that tax. So.
Unless you let it expire.
Well, if the merge the two kind of concept mm-hmm. that we were talking about, the idea would be you'd annex the town, so the fire department doesn't have to do the contract there, and they can do one levy that covers
fire.
EMS.
Right.
That's the merge that you want to ultimately get. But then to do the levy after you annex the town, you then have to say, okay, by the time this current EMS levy expires, we want to have a new levy amount that covers it in the fire district.
Right.
And that's where people are going to have to vote to change.
That seems risky. That seems a little improbable in my mind.
Well, it's a harder sell because it's a little complex. Yeah. But if you can pitch people on the idea that this is just this, you know, we're going to substitute an EMS levy which you're currently paying to, EMS district, you pay that same amount roughly to the fire district and provide the same service out of the fire district. Mm-hmm. Conceptually, people might get that, maybe. But some people won't. They'll see it as tax increase and they're going to vote against it because that's what they do.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
And part of the struggle is this idea that for most people, they don't see the organizations as two separate organizations. So when you start to mark down these roads and, well, they're really not, and we're going to bring them together, then it's this suspicion about, well, what are you really trying to do here?
Yeah.
And you know, it's the political question, really.
Yeah.
And then it always depends on what else is on a ballot. I mean, things that we don't even know. If you look 2 years out, if the city has to raise revenue, and they have two items on there, or there's more school-related funding to catch up.
The clearly requires that we spend more. Everywhere.
Yeah. So then people just say, "No, I'm maxed out. I don't care what company asks me for. We're maxed out. We're no on everything. No." So it's just,
and some people vote no just generally.
Yeah, well, 30% don't vote.
Yeah, that's right. That's going to be 30%. 30% no. I don't care what you want.
Right. You change the question.
So that's a risk. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, there's totally risk involved in every one of these, which is why I think if you game it out, you have to think about, okay, well, this passes, but that fails later. Mm-hmm. Are we in a place that you want to be in?
Right.
At that point, or are we not?
Otherwise, like, what do we do? So much for do no harm.
But at least we should play that for each option and say, okay, here's the process.
Yeah.
So that we know.
So how do we want to go about devising questions? I mean,
well, I've thought about it from the standpoint of the options that we have sort of discussed already about, you know, do this, do that, then do the other. There are like four or five of those that are kind of grand thoughts. The dissolve EMS, the, you know, whatever it is. And then do it sort of linearly within each of those, okay? So if we say that what we want to do is merge the EMS into fire and have one levy, if that's what we think we want to do.
Right.
What does that take at each step?
What do we have to undo?
What do you have to do and undo to make that happen? You know, you're going to let EMS levy expire and increase the fire levy and cover the town and call it good. If that's what we think we want to do, we should describe that process. In all cases, of course, the starting point is the same. So the starting point is what we got now. So I think what we do is we paint the picture. Here's where we are. How would we get to this scenario? Or how would we get to that scenario, which is something like a contract for services from the fire district, and they raise the levy, but they don't actually pay the service or whatever. Something or whatever. And there are some that we may or may not choose to. I mean, we don't need to go as far as considering regional fire authority things and stuff. Stuff that's kind of semi-irrelevant to the current discussion to make it a few simpler options themselves.
Yeah, I could see a discussion like that, just adding in towards the end of whatever report we wind up writing and saying, you know, at some point you should consider in the future considerations might be this.
Well, it actually affects the choice of where you want to go, which is why you bring it up. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, if the goal were to ultimately want a, you know, countywide regional fire authority, for example, then you have to do one of these options, not one of those options.
Right.
So it would impact how you would go if you thought that was desirable down the road, even beyond the scope of what we're recommending.
Right.
Is it okay to make a comment?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I did put two RFA people on this list on the second page. I put Battalion Chief Dennis Ben from Long Beach RFA and Seth Johnson from West Benton. Both of them because they're recent, the last 3 years. And one of the reasons it might be useful to talk to them is because although you may not be interested in an RFA may be a terrible idea or a good idea, it's irrelevant. They had a lot of experience with different levies. In both cases, there was a town, there was an outlying fire district, there was, you know, multiple levies and jurisdictions of different types, and they negotiated those. So they would have answers about types of questions you're asking. Because regardless of whether you're starting an RFA or not, you're facing some similar issues when it comes to how you make changes of those sorts. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good recommendation.